Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 15, Prickly Porcupines, Being Easily Offended. The theory of people being compared to porcupines simply means we perceive people as having quills. These are the seemingly sharp jabs that poke us and thus offend us. Another person's quills can upset us as they are perceived as rude or questionably insulting. These quills or offenses can come about in various ways, such as through insensitive words or attitudes that can be dismissive or demeaning, or hostility when there are disagreements or feelings of being rejected or devalued or not being listened to. There are a lot of ways quills or possible offenses can poke at us. Therefore, an offense can start as a tiny wound, but can grow into a deeper emotional, social, spiritual, or mental injury to our thoughts or heart. Being easily offended can have the potential of negatively affecting our relationships or how we interact with others. But here's a couple of questions. Is this our own personal and perhaps wrong perception, and thus we have the outcome of being offended easily? Or is there something to be truly offended over? Right or wrong conclusion about being offended, we still feel it and need to deal with it. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes. These quills can be like little needles that we barely feel, or they can be like thorns that go a bit deeper. Or these quills can be like spikes that run deep. This is especially true in marriage or with parenting when there is not the intentional goal of being kind or working out offenses on a consistent basis. People can say things or act in a particular way that is offensive to us, whether they mean to or not. We all will experience this because whenever we are around people, it's like a little huddle of porcupines that bump into each other with those sharp quills. So what are we going to do about that? Leave the little huddle and curl up in our own little ball of quills all by our lonesome? Or are we going to build tough skin that can't easily be offended because we have learned how to deal with prickly quills, no matter who they come from? We have matured. What used to be a gaping wound from being easily offended often is now just a little prick, like the tiniest of needles, so we get over it pretty much right away. We are aware of offenses, but we don't dwell on them. Dealing with quills or offenses can be difficult. But if we don't deal with them God's way, then the offense or the pokey quills can go deeper into our hearts. Then we can develop an infection of unforgiveness and bitterness, discouragement or anger, or many other negative outcomes that can get worse and worse. We don't want to walk around with all kinds of quills or offenses stuck in our head and heart. This takes us away from what is truly important and weakens how we can be influential in the lives of others. Easily being offended gets in the way of focusing on God and others. Most of us have seen the pictures of the poor dog that got his nose full of porcupine quills. Well, that's what our inner self can look like if we don't know how to deal with offenses from others. Do we let it go, or should it be addressed? The key is not to get more and more quills in the sensitive area of our heart until we are full of perceived or real offenses. But regardless of the potential of being offended, people need each other for a variety of reasons, even when there is potential and absolute offense. This is one way for us to mature in having godly people skills. Our focus needs to be on overcoming offenses rather than allowing offenses to overcome us. Then we can be more effective in our influence for the good and godly. A life of influence includes wise discernment, a peaceable attitude, giving continued grace and forgiveness, along with a constant walk of humility. A life that denies ourselves, takes up our cross, and follows the ways of Jesus comes with the possibility of being pricked with offenses and also realizing we ourselves have pokey little quills that also offend others. But that's life. We must learn what to do when others offend us and then use caution to not offend them. Whether it's within family, friendships, church, ministry, job, school, neighbors, people on the road, in a grocery store, or wherever and with whomever, it's like a little huddle of porcupines with their quills poking out whenever there are people around. People are just prickly at times. John Wesley told of a man that stated to him, "I never forgive, and I never forget." Wesley replied to him, "Then, my friend, let us hope you never sin." The balance. Us. We don't want to be hypersensitive and allow every little thing to offend us, but neither do we minimize what truly is offensive and perhaps needs to be addressed. Others. Another balance is just because someone says we have offended them is not necessarily the case. Sometimes that is their wrong perception that isn't true, and therefore they unjustly accuse us of offense. If we are overly concerned with offending others, then we can live in fear and people-pleasing, which freezes us from having the freedom to speak even the hard truth, but in love. Why do people get easily offended? Here are just a few reasons. There are many, many more. There can be past issues that are still very painful and have not been resolved. Therefore, certain subjects or people trigger a person into being easily offended. There can be present hardships and trials that can cause offense very easily because they are standing there with an open wound. Feeling left out, not included, or rejected, for example, in a conversation, can cause understandable offenses. Being unjustly accused because we are not understood, thinking we are judged for having a different type of personality, or making assumptions of what people think about us can cause unwarranted offense. The most common reason for being easily offended is insecurity. Being emotionally drained, physically wore out, or just stressed out drains us, so we are too weak to handle offenses in a constructive way. When there are disagreements over scriptural beliefs, morals, or values, political statements, etc., it can turn into offense. And of course, there are all kinds of reasons why people get offended, including a family member didn't take the garbage out when they've been asked 1,023 times in just 1 week. Just take the stinking garbage out if you don't want me to be offended. And then our attitude offends them, and here we go on the merry-go-round with continued offenses. Just a few of the consequences of being easily offended. It can lead to overreacting to others. It can create inner turmoil that causes continual anxiety, can steal away a person's sense of peace and joy, security and stability. It can cause high expectations of how we should be treated. And when those expectations are not met, small offenses can turn into big ones, which causes conflict and chaos. Being easily offended can drive people away because they get worn out from thinking they must walk on eggshells all the time. People that are easily offended are no longer safe or fun to be around. Being easily offended and staying offended can lead to unforgiveness and bitterness. If offenses are not dealt with, layers and layers of negative thoughts and emotions can cause people to either go into the attack mode or the shut down mode. This doesn't build relationships. This can destroy them. And of course, there are many more reasons why we can become easily offended. Being offended or becoming hurt over something is not a sin in and of itself. Sometimes an offense is simply a natural outcome of how we personally perceive something or someone. It happens whether we want it to or not, simply because we are human. The real issue is what we do with the offense. How do we react to it? Do we stop and assess what is truly offensive and therefore deal with it in a biblical way? Or do we need to let it go? As we remember, everyone makes mistakes, including us, when we are also offensive to others. A Greek word in the Bible, skenktalon, can refer to a stumbling block or a behavior or attitude that leads to another sin. The meaning of this is that we don't want offense to lead into sin, such as anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, pridefulness, a contentious spirit, and more. For example, it may start as being offended. Then we hold on to that offense and let it recycle over and over again in our thoughts. We focus on judging the person without any grace. We become resentful and unloving toward that person. Then we start to gossip about that person who has offended us. We move towards slander because we want to smear their name. And we can continue with scheming about ways to hurt them or punish them for how they offended us, and it just gets worse and worse. To put it simply, being easily offended or not dealing with actual offense God's way can lead to thoughts, words, attitudes, actions, reactions, and behavioral patterns that are sinful and very destructive to relationships. Thin-skinned versus thick-skinned. The definition of being thin-skinned, too sensitive or hypersensitive, easily upset or bothered. Letting things get to me too often. Looking for or creating the negative or worst case scenario. Accusing others of what is offense, but in reality, is not or should not be so. Having difficulty letting go of what was bothersome. Little offenses can become giant offenses because we make a mountain out of a molehill. Now let's look at the definition of thick-skinned. Perceived offenses roll off our back like a duck lets water roll off their feathers. It's as though they are waterproof, just like we need to be waterproof with what is perceived as offense. When there is an actual offense, being thick-skinned is having the ability to have grace as we realize we too can be offensive and therefore need grace when we offend people. thick-skinned is having the ability to choose to look at situations in a positive light, such as, well, what can I learn from this situation? We have this attitude instead of focusing on the offense and therefore missing the opportunity to learn from the offenses. Thick-skinned is remembering people were offensive to Jesus all the time by the way they minimized who he was, what he said, and what he did. Unless the offense truly needs to be addressed, then being followers of Jesus means we concentrate on how we can be a godly influence versus allowing others' offenses to influence us for the bad. Let's do PET. Practical application time. 5 tools to having thick skin. First tool, overlook offenses. Second tool, choose what you will. Third tool, your offender, how to treat them. Fourth tool, we have quills too. Fifth tool, deal with the offense. First tool, overlook offenses. Now, let's just get into a note about this. Of course, there are true offenses that need to be dealt with, and we don't need to overlook them. When it's about ongoing sin or a true wrong or harmful behavior toward us or others, then we don't minimize this and let it go or overlook this. This is beyond a simple offense we overlook. But most of life involves being around prickly people. Their quills might poke us, but it doesn't need to go into a major offense that causes a lot of problems that aren't necessary. We don't want to stay stuck in a minor offense because this is not wise. Proverbs 19, verse 11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. This means it's good sense and discretion to restrain oneself from becoming easily offended and to hold on to offenses. There are many insignificant things in the bigger picture of life that could bother us, but by the grace of God, we let them slide. Another way to look at the word transgression is a person's blunder or slip up, recklessness or rashness, indiscretion or mistake. In other words, it is to a man's glory or benefit to show grace when a person makes a mistake, a blunder, or a slip-up, when they are reckless and rash and they don't show discretion. Of course, if this is a continual behavioral pattern in our relationships, then it would also be wise to address those for conflict resolution. The word glory, it's a man's glory to overlook, means it is to his honor and a beautiful thing for him to overlook an offense and therefore not hold something against that person. Just let it go and move on. This proverb, it is a man's glory to overlook a transgression, is declaring the strong correlation between godly wisdom and the ability to think before one reacts to a perceived offense. It is far more honorable to ignore offenses than to overreact to them. A wise person doesn't let their thoughts, emotions, or conclusions get out of control by holding on to what could be a created offense that can be overlooked versus a true offense that is handled differently. So the key is to overlook as many offenses as we can. This is wise. But the balance is dealing with true offenses when necessary, because this is also wise. Just a note, we are not talking about wickedness, continual sinful behavior, and the like, which is offensive not only to us, but most certainly to God. At times, it is very important not to overlook these, but get wise counsel regarding these types of offenses and very problematic situations. Second tool, choose what you will. Realistically speaking, will we choose to be the type of person that is easily offended? Or will we work at being a person that lets offenses slide away as we show grace because we need grace too? Will we choose to be thin-skinned because we are easily offended? Or will we choose to be thick-skinned and not let offenses control our thought patterns and emotional reactions? It's truly our choice of how we handle offenses because they will come our way the rest of our life. With God's help, we can become stronger in this area. Will we grow a garden of offense weeds that are totally useless? Or will we plant the character of Christ in our hearts when we do get offended? Is it truly their issue of being offensive? Or is it my issue of being easily offended? It's not always our error, nor is it always theirs. Sometimes it's a mix of both, and sometimes it's just the one person. The key is to think rationally and realistically instead of emotionally. Being ruled by our emotions means we quickly jump to conclusions and therefore choose to be offended. Thinking rationally and realistically and spiritually means we can choose to look past the possible offense and not create an emotionally wounded heart and reactive spirit. It's helpful to talk to our heart and simply say, it is not to the glory of God to not receive this as an offense. I'm sorry I said that wrong. It is to the glory of God to not receive this as an offense. Plus, it will make my life much simpler. Who needs drama except actors? 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. This reminds us that godly love towards others is characterized by the willingness to bear with one another even as they offend us. We overlook offenses by looking up to God. No one can force us to be offended. Even if someone is offending us, it's ultimately my choice in how I allow those offenses to get to me and through me and into my heart and mind. I am personally responsible for my own reactions to offenses. In each individual case, is it worth my brain space and emotional energy to allow so many offenses to rule over me? Third tool, your offender, how to treat them. Peter in the New Testament provides the best solution to porcupine quills or offenses we will encounter. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Peter is commanding us to fervently or earnestly work hard at loving each other. The Greek word translated as earnestly, keep loving one another earnestly, is used to describe the muscles of an athlete straining to win a race. Peter writes that Christians should do this above all. They must use their spiritual muscles to win the race of loving others as Christ commanded us to do. This cannot be done if the focus is on us easily being offended. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. The idea that our love for each other covers a multitude of sins relates to our own imperfection. No Christian is sinless. We have set the course of our lives away from sin, but we still feel or fail sometimes. We make mistakes even when we don't mean to. Continually trying to love one another includes overlooking hurts and being forgiving. It's difficult for sin and resentment to flourish in a family, friendships, church, job, or community that is rich in Christ-like love and forgiveness. And why is this important? John 13, verse 35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The world and the unsaved are watching those that say they're truly followers of Christ. Therefore, Jesus sets love as the primary outward sign of a person's Christian faith. He is especially referring to love between those who claim to be his followers. As Paul expresses in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, nothing is of credit unless it is done out of love. And this includes showing Christ-like love to those who offend us. Christ loved us even when we were yet sinners and continue to sin. It is a learned attribute to continually ask for God's grace to overlook offenses simply because God has said, "The greatest is love." And love overlooks the flaws of others. Ephesians 4, verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." This verse is talking about how to treat those who have offended us and not just those who in general are easy to love because they are not so offensive. First, be kind to the one who has offended us. Second, have an understanding, compassionate heart toward those who offend us. We are to have focus on showing sympathy instead of having a harsh attitude when others fail at something and thus offend us. Again, we are not talking about overlooking or minimizing true offenses or sinful behavior. Those need to be dealt with in a firm but loving attitude. Third, and forgive them as we remember Jesus died on a cruel cross as he forgave us for all our sins and continually does so. Forgiveness is a unique characteristic of the Christian faith. Matthew 6, verse 12. As part of the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to forgive us as we also have forgiven others. When we forgive those who have offended us, then we prevent growing roots of bitterness, which can destroy our relationships. Fourth tool, we have quills too. Don't be offensive to others. Realizing everyone has quills, including ourselves, helps us to be rational as we realize we would want others to also overlook our offenses toward them. Proverbs 10, verse 11, "Sensible people are slow to anger, and it's their glory to overlook an offense." All of us can have not so good days where we say things we shouldn't say. We act in a way that is not kind. We display attitudes that are not godly. So when others do this to us, are we quickly given to anger or offense? Or do we let it pass when we stop and realize any and all of us can be prickly porcupines at times? Being sensible or practical, rational and reasonable means we have good people skills. When we overlook little offenses, that could turn into big ones if we major in the minors. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 22. Don't take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. Meaning, we also are offensive, and we need to keep that in mind when others offend us. We all can be like little porcupines that rub each other the wrong way with our own pokey quills. Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. Offense can especially come from those closest to us, and offenses can come more frequently from them. These offenses can cut deeper because of our emotional bond to them. Here in this verse, Solomon is sounding the alarm about the heightened nature of conflict between brothers or others. This is referring to either blood relatives or close friends. Offenses that lead to quarrels creates a wall between family and friends that can be especially difficult to resolve. Thus, the reason why we want to learn to let offenses go when at all possible. We tend to be hypersensitive with higher expectations from those we love and trust, which simply means we can become more easily offended. But those can quickly turn into massive disputes between family members and a breakup with friends. Easily being offended can get ugly really quick, so we want to deal with it before it gets out of hand. Fifth tool, deal with the offense. What does the Bible say about true offenses or repeated offenses or unrepentive offenses? Matthew 5, 18, verses 15 through 17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. Just to be clear, the context of these verses is not talking about our own personal little offenses. This is specifically talking about serious, ongoing, sinful behavior that is unrepentive, that can be very damaging to those inside the body of Christ, another person, or us. Sin is serious, so we take it seriously when we encounter it. Informing authorities or counselors, family members, or friends, when appropriate, is not gossip or betrayal. Keeping sinful behavior in the darkness will not allow the light to expose what is rebellious toward God and therefore harmful to that person and others. We want to help that person restore their relationship to God and others. Saying nothing could mean enabling sin that always has detrimental consequences, if not immediately, then long term. But there is also another concept in this section of Scripture. We are to speak the truth in love. We are to correct and rebuke when appropriate, when there is true offense. There are some situations that should not be overlooked or minimized or accepted. We just don't stick our head in the sand, shove it under the rug, or use the simple excuse that, well, none of us are perfect, and we shouldn't judge. When someone has truly offended us, then at times we need to go to that person with a heart of humility to make reconciliation, since our heart is not at peace with them. The motive is to restore something that is broken in a relationship. When done with the right motive and heart, we can address offense with, "I need to talk to you about something that is concerning me. I don't want anything to stand in the way of you and me. So I was wondering if you could explain why you said such and such." And then let them explain. Perhaps it's worse than you thought, or it wasn't something bad at all. We are personally responsible for presenting the offense in a loving and sometimes firm way, but it is not our responsibility for how they respond to us presenting an offense to them. So they have the opportunity to make it right. And just a balance in this, this does not mean every time a friend or family member or someone offends us, we always go to them and address it. Thus, the previous talk about we need to let a lot of things just go. The hope is that confusion will be cleared up, a conflict will be resolved, and lessons of how to love in a better way will be learned from both parties. In some cases, and with some people, this is not doable. They are not willing to be humble enough to take personal responsibility for a wrong they have done. We can't force people to pursue peace with us. If they refuse, then we must move on or get guidance on how to deal with the offense from someone else that truly is bothersome. Just a note, gossiping or blabbing about someone else's shortcomings is a form of damaging speech toward them, which creates a lot of deep offense. Even good friendships, long-term friendships, can be destroyed by such betrayals. The New Testament strongly condemns gossip and the actions of a busybody. This is why the concept of those verses that was just mentioned says to go to that person and not to others in a gossipy way about the offense given to us. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, "For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." Just to reiterate, we are encouraged to confront a fellow believer when they are caught up in sin so they can be restored in relationships that have been harmed. Galatians 6:1 instructs, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." When we love others, sometimes it's appropriate and necessary to say the hard things that might be offensive to them because we are trying to help them walk away from what is offensive to God. Of course, we are well aware we also could fall into sin, and this is why we make sure we are not prideful when we address the offenses or sins of others. Speaking truth and speaking it in a loving, humble way go hand in hand when addressing sin that is offensive and always wrong. When we realize we have offended someone, when there is the possibility of us being offensive to someone, then we don't want to sweep it under the rug. We can ask them if we have been offensive, and if so, we want to make it right with them. An explanation and or a sincere apology is one way we can apply the second greatest commandment in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, which is to love others. This means we need to have concern and care. If we have perhaps unknowingly or especially purposefully offended someone. Humility is always the key to being followers of Christ. And just a note here, minimizing or making excuses for the possible way we have offended others will only make matters worse. So we want to think about our wording that will be helpful in healing to others when we have offended them, or they have perceived offense and we just want to make that right, instead of adding more fuel to the offensive fire and minimizing or arguing it or being defensive about it. Balance. Sometimes people become unreasonably offended at us. Perhaps we believe in the gospel message and they don't. Maybe we spoke the truth in love, but they don't like the truth we spoke. The reasons can be many. The point is that we don't want to go around apologizing to everyone who is accusatory toward us without validity. We take ownership for when we truly are wrong, but not when we are not wrong. We don't apologize for rightly dealing with situations. If they get offended because we like chihuahuas and they like pet pythons that eat them, then pretty sure it is the chihuahua owner that has a reason to be offended and not the one who is offended at the chihuahua owner. Just saying. Let's recap the 5 tools to having thick skin. First tool, overlook offenses. Second tool, choose what you will. Third tool, your offender, how to treat them. Fourth tool, we have quills too. Fifth tool, deal with the offense. We're at a close. I surely hope I haven't offended you. That's never my intent. But my motive is to motivate you to look at Scripture as you look for wisdom in how to deal with prickly porcupines, and hopefully we can pluck some prickly quills off ourselves while we're at it. Please subscribe and tell others so we can get the Word of God out there together. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40 verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever."